Welcome to episode 89 of the Pickup Podcast, Steve Smith Edition, first of 2022. Here with my co-host Ant, your boy Marcus. Today we're going to talk about some of the upcoming NBA trade deadline rumors, quick thoughts on the college football playoff that just concluded a couple weeks ago, potential expansion talk, and the NFL playoffs with the wild card and the divisional round coming up. So stick with us, we'll be right back.
Shoot.
All right. So, coming up right now, end of January, early February, you know, NBA trade deadline's coming, I think the third week of February. So, we're starting to see a lot of rumors pop up. You know what I'm saying? We already had the one trade from the Lakers where they sent Rondo out to the Cavs. Starting to see some Ben Simmons talk. You know, he's been sitting out the entire season, hearing some of the offers that the Sixers have gotten. At least three reported offers that the Sixers are not thrilled about. I'm going to just read those off real quick, talking about the Ben Simmons offers. There was an offer that the Atlanta Hawks sent for John Collins, Cam Reddish, and a first-round pick for Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris.
Oh, my fucking God. You did not tell me that one. Cause oh, my God, man. Wait a minute. John Collins, Cam Reddish, and what else?
A first-round pick.
Oh, yo, I was good with just – you could have gave me John Collins. You could have gave me John Collins, dog.
For just Ben and Tobias.
Oh, hell yeah, I'm doing that.
And they were reportedly not thrilled that Tobias was added in there. The Kings had an offer reportedly where they had a package of Buddy Hield, Tyrese Halliburton, the, you know, rookie from last year who made some headway, Harrison Barnes, two first-round picks for Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybul, and Tobias Harris. It said the Sixers showed no interest in that one. And the Pistons made an offer, reportedly, with Jeremy Grant, Sadiq Bey, Kelly Olynyk, and a first-round pick for just Ben Simmons alone. And they said the 76ers were not excited about that offer. So, you're the 76ers right now. You're rolling pretty strong with just Joel Embiid, who just came off a 50-point game last night, mind you. Even if you were in a situation where you wanted to keep Tobias Harris, who's making like $37 million a year.
To be average.
So slightly above average. He's good.
Yeah, he's not an average NBA player. He's a tier above average NBA player.
Yeah. So, he's just not worth his contract. I feel there's two trades in here that were excellent for dumping that contract and getting quality back from it, especially that Hawks deal. Because that's insane to me that they didn't look at that. You get Cam Reddish for Tobias Harris, who I think are in the same ballpark as far as scoring potential. Tobias Harris is
a defensive player, too.
Reddish is definitely a better defensive player. I think Reddish's potential is to be a scorer like Harris, but Harris is already there. You know what I'm saying? We're weighing what's there versus potential. But also, rookie contract versus $37 million. I don't even know how that's even, like, considered. Like, I would have said yes immediately.
And it's Tobias Harris.
Down to Atlanta.
Like, you remember what I said, like, a year or so ago about Tobias Harris, or that people say, Tobias Harris is a player where if you need 18 points, he'll get you 18 points. If you need 25 points, he'll get you 18 points.
You did say that.
Like, that's Tobias Harris. No knock to him, but he's got to be, like, the third or fourth best player on your team, man. So, like, all right. So, in order of what you had told me, because I didn't even know about the Atlanta one. The Atlanta one's the best one. You don't even finish telling you about the first-round draft pick, and I do that immediately. Yeah. Immediately, dog. I start packing this shit up. Booking flights and shit. So, and then it's the Sacramento one, and then it's the Detroit one. That one was still pretty good.
The Detroit one lets them keep Tobias Harris if that's what they're hinged on. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's just
they're like,
crazy that you would want to. Why would you want to, dog?
Because I like the. Well, Sadiq Bey is pretty good, and we all know Jeremy Grant's pretty good, but Jeremy Grant, I think, is injured right now. So that would be, you know, obviously you'd be waiting on him to come back. And Kelly Olynyk is just, you know, solid piece, probably for cap reasons, salary cap reasons.
That's no different than Ben Simmons sitting out. So that wouldn't even move me away from him.
Right.
He's already sitting out.
You're getting basically three players in a pick. Let's say two players in a pick because Jeremy Grant's out still for Ben Simmons, and you get to keep Tobias Harris. Because if you're right now trying to have your core, quote-unquote, be Embiid, Harris, and then your defensive anchor in Tybull, you know, which he is that good. He can be a defensive anchor. I think his coming forward has actually taken a lot of the pressure that Ben Simmons used to put on the defense. He's kind of filled that role. But I think, honestly, we're going to go back to that Atlanta deal. That's the best one because you added John Collins, who I think is a little – if he can build more, a little more of an inside-out game, because I don't like Embiid doing the inside-out stuff as much because he is so dominant down low. So John Collins gets a little more of that inside-out game. That's a nice little big tandem, you know what I'm saying, big on big right there. And then Cam Reddish bringing his playmaking ability with the ball and his and defense.
Which they need.
They need, you know what I'm saying? Put Cam Reddish on the perimeter with Matisse Thybulle. You know what I'm saying? And have Joel Embiid locking down the middle. That's a lot of pressure, honestly, off Embiid. He's just able to do what he has to do and just be able to play rim guarder. Like,
yeah, and I think Embiid's a pretty decent big man passer. So you can use John Collins a few different ways. Still space the floor and stuff. I'm still stuck on – all right. I'm sorry. This – it kind of pisses me off, and I'm not even a Sixers fan, but it's just because I've been over this whole situation, and I understood not wanting to give him up for, like, a pack of new 400s. But, but now you actually are at the place that everyone said. Around the deadline, it'll more likely be better offers, and then they were like the offseason possibly. But I don't see how – this offseason would be any more different than last offseason at this point. Like, he hasn't played, so he hasn't went up or down, really. Well, maybe he went down just because of the stuff he's been doing and not playing. But I don't understand if you want to keep Tobias Harris, why you don't do that Detroit deal then. Because basically, essentially what you're doing is just adding players because Ben Simmons isn't playing right now. So you're just adding players. So it doesn't hurt you that Jeremy Grant isn't playing right now. But you get, what was it, two other players, and then you get a draft pick, right?
Yes.
So you gain two players right now as opposed to the players you already have playing right now, and then you get a draft pick, and then you're the guy who's really the treasure of that trade. I don't know if he's out the rest of the year or not, but let's say he is returning, then you get him at some point. So I don't see the logic and why you wouldn't do that deal if that was the first deal you had. And then if you get the Atlanta one, it just – I don't understand. Like, Morey, you know, saying he'll wait, 4 years. I feel like you only turn down those deals if you think you can get a superstar. And I just don't see that happening, man. I feel like Dame Lillard would already push that button if he wanted to be there. And I think that's a fantasy anyway. And so who else is there that you're waiting on? I don't get it. I don't get the logic. Get that bullshit away from the team so they can move on now. Like, I don't get it at all.
I don't know what they're waiting for specifically. Maybe they're trying to work with Ben on where he wants to go. Because I could imagine if he doesn't.
No way.
Let's say the Kings aren't his number one destination. And they're like, well, we're just going to try to do right by you. And the Kings aren't it.
What's their motivation to do that?
I guess morale for the rest of the players.
Other
players see how your front office deal with people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I think it's unrealistic. Now, don't get me wrong. The NBA has flipped on its head, like the players are in charge. But I think it's unrealistic to think you're going to get to tell your team where to trade you if you want to get traded. I think that's ridiculous. Like, for everyone to think that they have that kind of agency. Like, there's only certain situations and certain players, I feel like, that are really going to be able to do that. It's usually when your contract is about to run out and they don't want to your contract's about to run out, they're never going to lose you, and so they want to get something in return, and so they want to make sure you're going somewhere where you'll actually sign. That makes sense in those situations. But just this nigga? Nah. I don't even
know. So I have another question. I have another question about what you would do. hypothetical GM hat on. Recently, last night, they were talking about Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook was benched at the end of the game, and they he didn't play the last 4 minutes, and Frank Vogel said he was playing the people that he thought could win the game. It's a pretty big statement when your second highest paid player, or second or third highest paid player, you're deeming not capable of winning the game, right? The guy you just traded for this offseason. So, obviously, he's a buzzword right now. You think that Philly could be waiting on a Westbrook dealing of some sort if he's available? You think that could be what they're waiting for?
Then they really are smoking crap. Because that's worse. Because they would have been better off taking the deals that they had early in the season or in the last offseason. Whatever those were, they were better than getting with Russell Westbrook and having to pay him, knowing he's actually not going to help your team be better. He's going to make them worse. And everyone said that, the Lakers are crazy. Yo, their GM is bugging. If you do that Buddy Hield deal or you don't trade all those guys to Washington, man. But that, this is such a bad trade, man.
So we're looking at Westbrook maybe getting shipped out. I know.
I don't see anybody else. A third team.
A third team would have to get involved, you think?
No. I mean, this is the third team that's taking on his contract.
Oh.
it would have to be the third team that took on that big-ass contract you know, he probably deserved at the time he got it. But,
I liked them in Houston. I think Houston was a place that he probably should have stayed. And I mean, he didn't want to be in Houston because they turned that whole roster over.
I don't think they wanted him in Houston because they wanted to start over. But then you trade for John Wall,
and he don't want to be there.
Well, I think he wants to play. That's what I think. I think he would have been fine if he wanted to play. But then they started spreading rumors like, they start spreading rumors about him that I don't believe it's true. I think John Wall gets a bad rap sometimes. And I think he still has something in him, and I really wish he had got traded or bought out and then went to, like, Brooklyn when Kyrie was sitting out or went to L.A. or the Clippers. Honestly, I thought he would have been good on the Clippers at the beginning of the season. So
how do you think John Wall for Westbrook trade, I guess, again? Think that would be a beneficial situation for both parties?
No, it would be beneficial for L.A. Because you're already paying that, so you might as well get a productive point guard in there. Like, John Wall don't care about scoring. He will score if he needs to. I think he cares about distributing the ball, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, he was making Gortat and freaking Nene look like Embiid. Okay, this is hyperbole, but, you know, he was making them look good, and he even said, yo, y'all motherfuckers is complaining I'm spoon-feeding y'all. Well, it was Gortat, and he was. So I think John Wall still has plenty of value, honestly, because he was playing pretty good last year when he was playing with Houston. It's just they suck. I know he's not John Wall of the past. I mean, with the injuries he had, it's just impossible, especially when he had that kind of speed, you know. He's not a small point guard, so he still – I think he still has value. And if, you know, this is a time where – working on that shot more would be beneficial for him, you know?
I mean, John Wall's a player that I really would like to see back and doing well because, I mean, he's just kind of done everything what you would say, like, the right way, per se, and kind of sat there, took it in Washington for a while, made that city his, ran it up, you know, as much as he could, got to the playoffs, had decent runs with decent teams. Maybe Washington's actually pretty decent now, which is kind of, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of the same way that I feel about DeMar DeRozan and the rebirth that he's had in Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like it's good to see those kind of guys get the love that I feel like they always deserve. No. What were you saying?
I was going to say a few years ago, I would have had John Wall. I think it might have been even brought up. A few years ago before the injuries, I would have rather had John Wall than, like, Kyrie than a lot of guys, actually. I personally rather – I know some people may not have been as high on him, But I would have rather had him than Kyrie and some of these other point guards that aren't like Steph and, you know, Chris Paul and shit like that. But I had him really high up there as far as point guards until he got hurt. So, and I still think he has something left to give. And I hope he gets to play some competitive basketball in his last years. And I'm not mad at that nigga for not wanting to buy out, because let me get my bread, because I'm never getting this bread again. It's a lot of bread. and if they're going to buy him out, they weren't going to be close to what he still owed. So, I mean, he wasn't going to get paid by the new team much. So, you know.
I definitely feel that. While I'm sitting here talking about the NBA, I got to shout out two teams. One is selfish, one is not selfish. One, I got to shout out the Charlotte Hornets, because this is far and away the best that I've seen this team look since the rebrand of the Bobcats, Hornets, whatever, right? Since that expansion team. This is the best and most sustainable success I think this team had. They're 500, you know, in the end of January, and I don't think I've ever seen that in a hot minute. I think 2016 was the only year I've seen that, and that team was full of a bunch of old vets just, you know, making shit happen to barely make the playoffs, right? Yeah. We got a bunch of young guns that look like they can stick around for a few years and make this a thing. So that's exciting. And then two, the Cleveland Cavaliers. I got to give a big shout out to them, because they are definitely legit. They did everything as far as like rebuilding. They did the tough years. They got a couple of players. They made two really good trades in the last couple of years. And they're definitely a contender in the East. I think that, I mean, a contender to, like, maybe not make it out of the East, but they'll win a playoff series, I feel like. And I feel like they have a chance to put some pressure, especially with Garland and Sexton and Jared Allen, and they got Lauri Markkanen, you know what I'm saying, all of them clicking at the same time. It's going to be a little tough because they don't really have much playoff experience collectively, but in the teams at the top of the East do. But I feel like, you know, it's good to see them turn around because, you know, without LeBron, I don't think I've ever seen Cleveland look respectable, period.
I don't think whenever they were, I was a kid. Definitely.
Yeah.
I was a kid. Maybe, I don't even want to think about Cleveland teams, to be honest. Yeah, but I definitely agree with that. I'm shocked, man. Like, I did not think Cleveland would be good. I think Charlotte, I mean, they're becoming a team now that if I was in town under different circumstances than I was last time, I would have probably tried to look up some tickets. Whereas before, I would have been looking at who they were playing. You know what I'm saying? And trying to see about tickets maybe. But now they're at a point where, like, I would go watch Miles Bridges and Melo play. LaMelo play.
I mean, no matter crazy. Who they were playing.
So that's a good look. Good look for the city, man. Good look for real.
What's that Kevin Love up. Coming off the bench? Which I didn't Love think I would ever see.
When does that contract over with?
Kevin Love? Oh, no, he's getting every last bit of his coins. I think that contract was signed in, like, what, 2016 or 2017? This is probably – he's got, like, what, one or two more years left?
Because I was like, man, I'm pretty sure being over there – like, all that losing before this year, it took his drive away. And I thought he might have had something left for a good team if he could get out of there. But now, probably not, just because they're winning and he's coming off the bench. And that means
yeah, he's got one more year.
Damn. Well, he shouldn't. That's I don't feel bad for him now. I don't feel bad for him now because he's getting paid and they're good now. So now I don't feel bad for him. But I did feel bad for him before.
Yeah, because that extension didn't kick in until 2019.
That's what it was. That's why it seems like this shit should be over this year, because it was an extension, and you still got to run out your last contract first.
I mean, wow. I ain't mad at it. He making $30 million a year, so. But turn it up, man.
Shout out to Cleveland, though, man. Oh, and shout out to DeMar DeRozan in Chicago, man, because I didn't see that either, and I remember listening to plenty of NBA media, and there were some people, for one, it was, most people didn't think it was going to work, but there were some people who didn't even think they were going to make the playoffs. And
That's wild. I had them in like a 5 seed. I didn't think they'd be top of the East, though.
Yeah, that's what I had them around, somewhere between 4 and 6, probably 4 being very generous at the time, but probably in that 5 or 6 seed. Because I was like, they got Alonzo, who I just feel like is underappreciated, underrated by a casual fan probably, just because of they're still remembering all the LeVar Ball stuff and the LA shit as opposed to what he's really been doing.
He's improved every single year, which is all you can ask for.
Good NBA player.
Yeah. You know, especially defensively.
Yeah.
Defensively, he is up there on the upper half of on-ball perimeter defenders. Finally using his size and mobility, you know, the way that I thought he should have been used. And then also his shooting has improved year by year.
His shot looks a lot better. By the stats, it is better, and
it's more confident.
That's what I was just about to say. I don't think there's a confidence issue anymore. You know, so to me, he's going to be 15-year vet, point guard. You're going to be able to rely on down the line. I mean, now and down the line, like he's not Chris Paul, obviously, but he's just going to be a solid ass point guard that you can count on, and even the years to come. And it's not like he was extremely athletic, so it's going to translate into him when he gets older and stuff too. So
LaMelo's a fucking superstar. As soon as he gets that consistent shot, because it's not consistent yet, but he's a fucking superstar.
Yeah,
love LaMelo and Charlotte. And I would be remiss. I can't believe I almost went without saying this. I would be remiss if I didn't shout out Ja Morant. Fucking MVP caliber season this year.
Yes.
He's going fucking nuts. Ja Morant is taking them to the next level. That's a team that I didn't think had the capacity of what they're doing right now. They're like top three in the West, which Young is top guys. Three in the league right now. You know what I'm saying? The team is defensively, you know, they built back that, what they call that Memphis grit or whatever.
Yeah.
They definitely built that back from that old team, that the Tony Allen, Mike Conley, like that feeling is back. But now they got a guy that's going to go out there and get 30, 40. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
you
crazy.
Look good doing it, but still be scrappy. You know, it's like you said, it's in the same spirit, but a younger team. Because I was about to try to pull up their roster because I know they got Steven Adams just because he carried a dude like halfway across the course of the night. But other than him, I think.
Nah, it's like Steven Adams, it's like Dylan Brooks. It's, man, they got
young
a.
Guys.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're cool. Really, like, they really are, like, setting a foundation to where, like, that Memphis team that we were talking about before had, what, like, 6, 7 years of success sustained. Mm-hmm. And obviously, they made it to the conference finals one time, and they never made it past that. But, I mean, I feel like this is a team that has the same, because obviously, you've got the Suns that are there, you got the Warriors that are back on top or whatever. And I think this is a team that can compete with them. But when, you know, a little more, you know, they got Jaren Jackson, you know what I'm saying? Kyle Anderson, Ja Morant, Zaire Williams, he's popping
Bain.
Off here and there.
Desmond Bane. That dude.
He be going off from time to time.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and even even then, for the long run, like, the Warriors aren't going to be good, but for about 3 years, tops, probably. So,
right.
The Lakers aren't good. Like, no one, when you look at, like, the West, I'm trying to think.
Just signs, really.
There's no one like that is going to be there like 3 years from now, 5 years from now. That, as far as how they're constructed, they keep like, you know, a main core. The Grizzlies, like, if they can keep their guys together, man, it's always hard because if you got a lot of young guys, you got a lot of young guys that are waiting to get paid. So, Steve Adams makes $17 million this year. I'm looking at this thing right now. So hopefully, I don't know when that contract is up. That's a bad contract. But if you can, if that contract is up soon, I don't even know if they really need him like that. Like down the line, if they're gonna need him. But everyone's cheap right now, so that's the one thing. Like Dylan Brooks makes like the second most on the team, from what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Right now. So.
It's going to change, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It definitely is. But I'm excited about that. And you know what? I want to kind of compare Memphis and Charlotte in the sense that those small market teams, having exciting young players, man. That's what's going on. And that might be the break you might get in free agency one day. You know, when because they're, you know, they're always complaining, or the media's always bringing up, you know, small markets can't attract people. But when you got someone like Melo, LaMelo and Miles Bridges, they're excited, man. And I'm pretty sure they're excited in the other players, too. And honestly, I don't want to use the word swag, but, though, the shit off the court, too. Like,
yeah,
just bringing excitement to the city and to fans, like, and probably to the players. And so, same thing with, like, Ja Morant and those guys. Memphis is a dope city, man. Like, from my understanding, I haven't actually hung out in Memphis, but the stuff from the outside looking in, maybe, you know, these basketball players look at shit differently, but damn, I wouldn't mind living in Memphis, even if it is a small market, you know what I'm saying? Charlotte, I mean, maybe I got some bias towards that, but those small markets having those young players that are actually exciting players, like, I don't feel like, well, Detroit, I don't know if that's considered a small market, but I don't feel like Cade Cunningham necessarily excites people. Fans or other players. Like, he's a solid dude, but his game and everything about him and his aura doesn't necessarily excite people. But those two young guys, the two guys in Charlotte and Ja Morant, the young guys there, to me, that would make me want to, man, I want to go play with those guys.
Right. You know what I'm saying? I'm fucking with it, man.
Yeah.
Well, kind of flipping the script a little bit, going to a little bit of college football. I'm assuming you see the college football playoffs that went down a few weeks ago. First, congratulations to Georgia.
Yes, sir.
All them boys, they came and slayed the giant Alabama. First people since Clemson to do that, right? Mm-hmm. First year that Saban lost to any of his coaching protege. He lost to Jimbo Fisher. It's his one loss. And then he lose to Kirby Smart in the championship game. It's kind of crazy that they both happened in the same year like that, with the Heisman Trophy quarterback. Anything that you saw in that game that you wanted to touch on?
I was just surprised they won, to be honest. I know they always say it's harder to beat a team twice, especially in that mood for a period of time. I did expect them to play way better. I'm just honestly outside of the game, I just saw that Stetson Bennett's returning, and I get the situation that would put the coach in, but I think that he. I thought, first of all, I thought his eligibility was up.
Because everyone got a free year 2020.
Because, yeah, I definitely thought his eligibility was up. So when I saw that, I was like, what? And then I seen dude is transferring, Daniels is transferring. Just not even about the game, but like Georgia, and I was listening to someone talk about this, and I definitely feel the same way. I think they're setting a bad precedence as far as, like, they won, and that's great, and that was the whole point. But I think it sends a bad message that, oh, we can start anybody at quarterback. You know, we have all these five stars, but we don't start them and play them. But we can throw this guy out here. And it'll be a way that players continue to get overlooked that probably should be playing. I still don't buy into him like that much. Like, he fucked up a lot in that game. And fortunately, they still won and stuff like that. But they're making it all about him, and I think we know why. But let's be real, man. That defense, dog.
One of the greatest ever.
Yeah. And I've heard that from reliable football people saying that who were defensive players. And I was like, oh. So I missed a lot of their playing this year. And I didn't realize how great their defense really was, especially when I watched that first game. But I realized that they just had a bad fucking game, man. A really bad game. That probably would not happen that way, you know.
Well, they say it was a bad day to have a bad day.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, they were in the driver's seat because they were undefeated, so they could afford. That was another thing about that first game, though. and why I thought the second game would definitely be different and Georgia would have a chance to win was Georgia didn't have to win that game. Alabama did.
Right.
And while I don't even think that Georgia was like, oh, well, we don't have to win this game. But I think that plays a factor, man. When you have to win the game or pretty much basically your season over with. I mean, you don't play a bowl game, but basically your season's over with. I think you might be a little more want to in that game as opposed to the next time. So what do you think about them recruiting? Because I think this has been a continuous thing because I was listening to someone talk about it. And it was like, yeah, I think they did with Jake Fromm too. I'm not really sure. Yeah, like, oh, yeah, because they have Justin Fields. Justin Fields is right there, right?
Yep. They've had a number of quarterbacks that come through Georgia and a number that leave Georgia, right? So, I don't know. It just comes down to, yeah, they were supposed to get a Jamie Newman at one point from Wake Forest. That didn't really work out that well, but
I wouldn't be surprised if Black top prospects start realizing what it is in Georgia and just don't commit there anymore. Like, I think they only have a few more years of this shit before that becomes a thing.
I mean, it is what it is at this point. They can celebrate the championship they won. They finally got over the hump doing it. Everyone, I think, knows when they're going to look back on the season and they're going to look back and it was the defense. Stetson Bennett had to play one good quarter of football to win that game. Seriously.
Yeah.
The fourth quarter, I'll give it to him 100%. Mm-hmm. He did exactly what he had to do. But if you have a defense that's allowing you to play one good quarter of football and win, and then make defensive plays to seal it where you weren't even on the field for, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it is what it is at that point.
In spite of, not because of.
Yeah. So getting to that point with Georgia, I don't want to say like maybe it's fatigue of seeing Alabama win every other year. Right, because this has literally been like that, you know, what, 2015, 2017, 2020. And you know what I'm saying? Like, another one would have been like, what are we here for, you know?
Yeah.
And then looking at the rest of the college football playoff, the other two games in the semifinals, they were not even entertaining, not even close. It was New Year's Eve. I would rather go out drinking that night instead of watching the games. They got boring. And then we're having talk with people talking about expanding the playoffs. I don't understand that. You have mismatches between 1-4 and 2-3. But now we're sitting here talking about, okay, well, let's expand it to 18. So let's put 1 versus 8. Like, come on now. What are we doing here? Like, what are we actually doing?
Like, we know this is a money grab. Like, if you do that, that's what it is, a money grab. That's all it is to me. And I feel like people who were like, you know, yeah, let's suspend it, now kind of see that a lot of these games have been like blowouts and shit like that, where like it seemed like one of the four didn't belong almost every year. Almost every year it's been like that. And so to expand it, you really don't have an argument to expand it other than that, you know, or that they always pick the wrong, they always pick like one wrong team, unless that's what it is.
I mean, you could say they picked one wrong team, but like this year, like Cincinnati deserved to be there 100%, my opinion. If we're talking about Georgia's defense, they were literally second, right behind them. They were that good. And you saw how they played Alabama for about three quarters of that game. They just didn't have, you know, Ritter having a quarter of plays that won the game. But they kept that game relatively close up until midway, late third quarter, you know? They were playing Alabama just as hard as Georgia was on the defensive end of the ball, at least. So I feel like you got these matchups every year. Every other year you have basically one good semifinal matchup. Like that one year there was Alabama and Ohio State the first year. And we didn't really get another good semifinal matchup until it was like Georgia and Oklahoma a couple years later. Like, no one's sitting here remembering the semifinal matchups. We had Ohio State getting fucked by Clemson and Notre Dame and Michigan State and Washington and all these other teams that, like, were there but didn't belong. You know what I'm saying? Like, And I think, like, we're going to include more of those games just to get the satisfaction of saying, well, everybody was there. So, yeah. And it's not increasing any entertainment value. You're going to add a game to the schedule for these teams that are ultimately not being paid, like, per game. So, I don't know. I just feel like BCS rankings, but make it a 14 playoff. They're getting out of hand with this, picking SEC teams every year. But that's just my little spill on it. And then going from those playoffs to the NFL playoffs, yeah. I don't know. Did you end up watching all the games in the wild card?
I didn't get to watch all of them, but I definitely – the one I watched the most was a Monday night one. And yeah. I've seen some of the other ones. But I definitely watched for the pod, I watched some extended highlights.
Yeah.
Of the other ones. I know it's not the same, but it's a little more in-depth.
Yeah, those extended highlights are actually pretty good.
Yeah, because they also show, like non-conversions and stuff like that, like big plays, you know, big third down and stuff like that. I find it hilarious. I was thinking about this when I knew we were going to do this pod. Like, Dallas, while they're, like, quote-unquote America's team, they're also America's, like, punchline, too. Like, yeah. I think if you're not a Cowboys fan, it's just, like, a communal thing to just enjoy passing around memes and all kind of other jokes about the Cowboys, because I didn't see that game live, or I think I'd seen, like, a little bit of it. And, like, I definitely thought the Cowboys were going to win that game, like, going into it. But what happened are they lost and how they lost, and that seemed to play.
Yeah.
I was just like, dude, you can't make this shit up, dog. Like, just give Stephen A. all the fucking ammunition, right? Like, and give us all the ammunition to laugh at Skip Bayless, which I'm always there for.
Watching it live, it was like the first drive of the game. San Francisco came out, punched him in the mouth, like just play after play, boom, 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 boom. Debo Samuel's in the backfield, running the ball, coming out in the backfield, catching the ball, going downfield, catching the ball, boom, 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 run down the field, get a touchdown, first drive. Dallas came out and didn't do shit. And it was like, well, I think they got a field goal, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you expecting Dallas to come out here slinging, you know, Dak was throwing for like 400 yards a game or whatever. It's what Cowboys fans think it seemed like, at least. But wasn't able to come out there and do anything. Couldn't get CeeDee Lamb the ball. Couldn't get Amari Cooper the ball for a while. It was just until later in the game when they got going a little bit. Couldn't run the ball. Zeke and Pollard were both kind of bottled up except for a little spot runs here and there. And up until the fourth quarter, and they finally got an interception to give them good field position. And they got a touchdown off that to cut it to 7, right? That was kind of the little high point for them, and then obviously they got the ball back and they got an opportunity to go down the field, boom, 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 and they were cooking too. That's what I don't understand. Like, they were boom, hook and ladder play, get out of bounds, boom, sideline throw, boom, sideline throw, and they just like went up the field like 50 yards in like 20 seconds, right? And they come out of that and they fucking QB draw with like 14 seconds left. And I was like, man, I mean, I understand get in the field goal range. Maybe they were concerned about throwing an interception or something like that. Or not field goal range, but, you know, Hail Mary range. They were kind of already there. The ball was at, like, the 40-yard line. You ain't going to tell me Dak can't throw 40 yards. But the whole setup was just dumb. Because if it came down to Dak throwing a pass and it goes out of bounds and you're talking about getting closer for an end zone shot, I'm like, it's the 40-yard line. You know what I'm saying? It ain't that bad. So I don't understand the logic. McCarthy apparently backed that, him, that being his idea, that wasn't like a self-call by Dak or anything. Yeah. The whole thing with the refs, that is Dak's fault, not getting the ball to the refs' hands. I played middle school ball and high school ball and knew that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is taught very early. Like, you give the ball to the ref at the end of the play and no huddle. Like, you find a stripe and give it to him. Like, that's so dumb that he turned around and gave it to his center and his center tried to snap the ball. Like, come on, man. Like, that's just a whole level of
stupidity. That's not how it works,
like, that's a whole level of stupidity. And then to turn around and be like, well, the ref moved the ball after he put it down. Well, he put it down. You put it down himself. You know what I'm saying? Like, the ref's got to put the ball down and spot it. So, just entirely. And then they said they practiced that. Like, they said that they practiced that draw, get up, spike situation. And I was like, well, maybe they need to hire some practice reps so they can practice giving the ball to somebody.
Yeah.
Because they definitely missed that part of it. But, yes, it was glorious. I was on a ship watching that. A lot of, we left out of Texas, so it's a lot of Cowboys fans. A ton of Cowboys fans. Excellent collective disappointment. love seeing that. I love seeing Joe Burrow and the Bengals getting their first playoff win of my lifetime, like 31 years.
So I was about to say, I don't think I remember the Bengals really being in the playoffs, but I remember them being in the playoffs, but definitely not winning a playoff.
Yeah.
Or being.
So that was their first playoff win in 31 years. Joe Burrow is him.
Yes, sir.
Me and Reggie have been kind of big on Joe Burrow for the longest.
Chase
is him. Chase is fucking him. I apologize. I apologize. I know I said I might take Devontae Smith over him, and I'm wrong. I said that in the draft. Even though I do like Devontae Smith a lot, he's just getting fucked over with whatever the fuck they're doing in Philly. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. That game was disappointing. The Cardinals were disappointing, but they haven't been a whole team all season, and I think that kind of sucks for them because, you know, they've had players in and out all year with injury, and they just never got it all together on the same page at the same time. So, Steelers, bye-bye, Ben. I love seeing the Chiefs out there running practice plays on the goal line. I think they had 4 goal line drives, and Patrick Mahomes did not throw a single touchdown to a wide receiver. He had the little screen flip play. Then he had the left tackle where they ran a variation of that flip play and ran a screen to the tackle. Fucking Travis Kelce threw a touchdown on the goal line. It was a whole bunch of glorious shit. I love seeing it. Send Ben out in tears. Because fuck that nigga.
Yeah, fuck him.
That's why Reggie didn't come on, because he knew I was going to say that.
Yeah, and Big Rape was trending that night, too.
So, beautiful.
Gotta love it. I definitely sent that to Reggie.
I was blocked by him for the longest, because I know for a while his it's technically not him, but it's the Big Ben Foundation page or whatever on Twitter. Was blocking everyone calling him Big Rape. I know a few years ago I got blocked, man. They must have went back and unblocked everybody because I was able to see their tweets again. But I was hoping to get blocked again because fuck that nigga.
It was a lieutenant from New England who definitely was the first one to introduce me to Ben Rapelessberger, that name, and I've adopted that since. I believe he's a fucking creep.
And then we had Buffalo absolutely like beating the living shit out of New England. I thought Buffalo was going to win, but I did not see that in particular coming. They scored a touchdown on their first, 6 drives. And I've never seen that before in my life. Especially against a playoff Bill Belichick team. So
that makes me, I got some questions for you. I'm curious what you think. I want to know if these people are for real. Okay. Dak Prescott, I think he's pretty good, but I see a lot of people who don't, you know, then there's the Cowboys fans who, you know, make him the next coming. How do you feel about him just overall, like, at this point in his career?
Solid. He can get the job done. I think he is capable of winning a Super Bowl. I don't think he ever will, but he's capable with the perfect everything around him. He's not typically going to be the one to lose you the game. Especially in a big game. I've actually seen, like, most of the big games, Dak's not the problem. It's usually a lot of other shit, but Dak in particular usually isn't the problem. Like, he's not making costly turnovers. He's not Tony Romo. Tony Romo used to play all world against, you know, 3-13 teams, and then come a playoff game, have 2 turnovers in the fourth quarter, and be like, man, I don't understand why we lost. Like, nigga, what? Have T.O. crying for him because people were criticizing him playing like shit. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not
Yeah. Is Mac Jones good? Because at the beginning of the season, they were sucking him off in the media, and then now some of them are like, nah, he's cool. He's the best of the rookies, but nothing special.
See, I think they were premature because they were, like you said, giving him the works when he wasn't doing much. But then they actually calmed down all that when he actually started playing better. Like, he was actually putting together some pretty decent games in the middle of the season, yeah. And I heard nothing about it. I was like, well, damn, y'all were just moved on to other shit. But I think that's when Ja'Marr Chase and them started going on, so they were going on him. They were trying to push that rookie of the year shit, like, the first, like, 4 weeks of the season when he had barely done shit. And I was like, all right, man. But then he actually did start playing better. So I could definitely see him having a sustained future. I think he's another quarterback where he's not gonna win you the game. I don't think he's gonna be like, all right, man, we're playing a high flying team like the Bills. We're playing a high scoring team. We need the offense to go out here and put up 35, 40 points. Cause it's too big of a task to ask the defense to hold them below that. We need 35 points to win. Can you do it?
I think at it's best, like
40-60.
I think at best he's Kirk Cousins.
Right.
The Kirk Cousins that puts up the inflated numbers but doesn't really beat like good teams and like you said, doesn't win the game for you. That's at best. That's what he'll end up being.
And that was my draft comp for him last year.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what I see. That's what I see is like and he might have like a good statistical season at some point, like a great one, but I have a feeling it'll be like kind of empty, you know, kind of like Kirk Cousins, you know. Another one. What's his name? Jimmy G. Because I've never been in on him.
See, and I feel like Jimmy G is like the high end of your Kirk Cousins spectrum. Mm-hmm. Like, Jimmy G, at some point, he can win you the game. Like, he's not a bad quarterback, but he's not going to win you the game every time you tell him to go win him the game. It's damn. And it's like, we don't know what we're going to do. Jimmy G might pull some shit out of his ass. I'm like, damn, that was fucking amazing. Yeah. But then, like, you'd be like, okay, do it again. He'd be like, nah.
So the game I really did see, and it was brutal, was the Arizona Rams game.
Yeah.
And boy, Kyler, and I like Kyler. He was out there looking shook, and for good reason. Yeah. but it was not looking good for that man. I'm glad to see, you know what's crazy is OBJ. I've been like, at first, when he came in the league, didn't really, excuse me, didn't like him. Part of that was because of the stuff with Josh Norman, but I just didn't like him. And it might have been where he played too, had something to do with it. But once he got to Cleveland, the tail end of him in New York, and once he got to Cleveland, I was on board. And I thought he had got a bad rap in Cleveland. And I'm just glad he's over there flourishing. Already has as many touchdowns, I think, as he had in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Just showing that his value, I don't know what his contract is right now, but I'm glad I feel like maybe he's not back to where, necessarily where he was as far as how people looked at him in the hierarchy of wide receivers, where he was at, but he's back at least in the conversation again, where he's supposed to be at so that he will get paid again.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe he has like another year. I don't know. I'll look it up. But I'm definitely glad to see that. And, yeah, they got smacked. I am really curious about this next matchup with them, what that's going to be like. So,
I mean, we got probably a little premature, but for both sides, I think the best playoff matchup on both AFC and NFC are happening in the divisional round, just kind of premature. But, you know, we got the Rams going to Tampa, and then we got Bills going to Kansas City on the other side. And I feel like those are two games that I think could be billed as conference championship type games, right?
But I actually wish they were.
We're getting them right now, so I guess we'll just see how it goes from here. Derrick Henry is possibly making a return. this week. He was practicing. Saw him running. He looked good running, obviously. No pads or anything, but, you know, just good to see him running because he had that foot surgery.
Oh, I seen a clip of they were hitting him.
And he was they were?
Yeah. He, and I just seen on ESPN, yeah, he passed on that contact stuff. So. Yeah,
Saw
a clip the other day. They were hitting him. He was doing drills and stuff, and they were definitely hitting him.
Well, he might just be ready to come back for another 25, 30 carries for 150 yards, because you know that's what they love to do with him. They're not shy about telling you who's getting the ball and where and when. Mm-hmm. So
that's my skepticism with picking that game is that he was hurt. So I don't know what he's going to be, because I would have probably picked them in that game if he had been playing like the last couple of weeks, and I saw like he was back to, you know, being Derrick Henry. But I'm definitely picking Cincinnati in that game. All these games are actually – I would not bet on any of these games because they're just – to me, I'm not confident in anybody that I'm picking because I definitely could see it the other way for all of these games, which is what I like though because –
Yeah. I will say we have the best teams standing left. I don't feel like we got gypped at anything in the first round. Actually, the more I look at it, these are all good matchups. You know, Cincinnati, Tennessee, San Francisco, Green Bay is kind of only one who's kind of because, like you said, you don't know what you're going to get from Jimmy G. Could do just enough to not lose the game, or he could go out and throw for 350. Like, you literally don't know. So. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers got a week rest, 2 weeks rest. Didn't he rest last week of the season also, or a part of it?
I think he did. Hey, while we're on Aaron Rodgers, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Has he not flipped to you? I know he has to me from being like, dude, I'm kind of cheering for, seems like a smart guy all on the field and off the field, to like the biggest douchebag, because he's flipped for me. And it's not even just the whole, like, it's not even, like, the anti-vax stuff. It's more of how he carried it.
You know what? A lot of people beforehand were already going at Rodgers about – I never saw that, right? A lot of people beforehand were saying that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, Rodgers just, like, Cali boy douchebag. And I was like, I don't see that. But I guess now he's, like, unashamed of showing that side of himself or something like that. You know what I'm saying? He's already, like, I've won my MVPs. I got a ring and blah, blah, blah. I am who I am and suck my dick. It's basically how he's going about it. So, I mean, yeah, he really might just be that asshole guy. And I just was oblivious, did not see it.
Yeah, because he's
never. But yeah, I think he's kind of, because I like Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback. The way he plays the game, all that shit. I've been one of his biggest fans and all that. Right. But I don't know. He just, like I said, he is coming off just different. Woke mob and all that stuff like that. Like, he had never, ever said shit like that before. And I'm like, all right, dude. But because it's crazy because on other issues and stuff, he was, you know, straight to the point. You know what I'm saying? When they're talking about kneeling, he was straight to the point about that. He was like, look, he was like, kneeling doesn't mean this. Kneeling means that. You know, it's like people have the right to do this. People have the right to do that. He was consistent like for years on all that kind of stuff. And I never took that. And I thought people were, you know, calling him a douchebag asshole for that kind of shit. Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, maybe he's just a douchebag and asshole to everybody, whether he's right or wrong.
And you know, I'm an asshole. So like being an asshole doesn't necessarily turn me off from you, but it's like how you are. How you're being an asshole and how you just carrying stuff like the woke mob stuff, that stuff, they're definitely rubbing me the wrong way. Cause then it's like, it's almost like you're not. I used to look at him more, and I hate to use these terms because they seem like trendy terms, but like I looked at him as more of an independent thinker, like a guy who can think for himself, take a situation, whatever it was, and, you know, and express himself, you know, articulate himself well. But then when you start using terms like, oh, the woke mob, I feel like you're piggybacking off a bunch of other bullshit. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's when I was like, ugh. And then it was just, I can't remember. That was the thing in particular that I can remember off the top of my head that he said or done. But, like, it was stuff all this year that I was like, ugh. Like, dude, Jesus Christ, no wonder why your family don't fuck with you, bitch.
But
but, yeah.
as far as football goes, I still think he is top two quarterbacks.
Who's one?
I wanted to see him. Oh, Mahomes. Mahomes is still that nigga.
Okay.
Cool. Sorry. Sure. Brady's like three. I give Brady credit by saying he's three because, honestly, I could really say he's probably two. But he just has everything, you know, like, so perfectly laid out for him. It's kind of hard for me to say, like, he's doing a lot by himself at this point in his career. Like, mm-hmm. Earlier in his career, I had Brady, like, top two. Like, it was him and Peyton Manning. No one hold a candle to them for years. But now, I mean, I don't think there's any shame in saying you were passed up by Aaron Rodgers and Patrick fucking Mahomes. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Nah,
like,
not when you're 40-some years old.
But I will say, like, I've always held, like, as far as, like, individual quarterback ability, I've never had him as my GOAT. But as far as career accomplishments, the shit he's doing now at, like, what, 43, 44, whatever he is now, like, dog, unseen, unheard of. Like, it's a new era of everything. Obviously, sports tech is better. He's able to play longer because healthier eating habits, training habits, all that shit. Even with all that shit factored in, you 40-something years old, you lead the league in passing yards, like, in touchdowns. And he's likely, I think, going to win MVP this year because of that. Like, I just got to tip the cap to him and say, look, you got the greatest career ever, period.
Yeah. But, how do you feel about coaches hitting players?
Oh, that shit Bruce, that happened with Bruce Arians?
Yeah.
So, like, I
didn't see the footage.
He ran up and smacked him upside the helmet for trying to – well, there was a little scrum, and he was pulling Eagles players off of the scrum. And if the NFL goes back and reviews, they can say anybody on the field – because I don't even think he was on the field, like, at the time. He was coming off the sideline. Anybody on the field in that scrum touching other players can be deemed a part of that scrum and can be fined or suspended, right? So he goes up there, and he's like, hey, don't do that. Smacks him upside the helmet, starts yelling at him. But I was like, it's the image. That I understand. It might not hurt him, but, like, it's the image of physically striking somebody. I don't agree with – I mean, he got fined, like, a shit ton of money. I don't think that it's, like, the worst thing in the world, but if you're going to talk – if you're going to be consistent, at least, of saying, like, the players can't do certain things because it's an image, the coach shouldn't either. I can live with that.
Yeah, because there was a guy on Levin's our show trying to argue, oh, he didn't hit him, he slapped him. Like, that was the difference. And then they were like, well, what if the player just decided to do what he just did back? And he's like, well, then they should get, you know, be off the team. And he was on the field. I'm looking at it right now.
So, it's just like one of those things, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was like, hey, don't make this bonehead decision, smack on the helmet.
Yo, okay, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it, and the fine that he got, not really sure.
But for the image sake, if you're saying it's the image of not striking a player, I can live with that. Now, what I don't like is, like, when Tom Izzo, you remember a couple years ago in the NCAA tournament, it was like in the first round.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Dude made that turnover. I forgot what player it was. Dude made turnover, and Tom Izzo, like, grabbed him by the jersey, and he was cussing him out, and he was like, da-da-da-da. He was like, you can't make that fucking play in this fucking moment. It's the fucking tournament. Sit the fuck down. Shit like that, right? Mm. And they got on Tom Izzo's ass. I was like, nah. You just going to have to live. The coach is going to talk. Like, they going to talk like that. And they'd be like, well, you can't talk to your boss like that or nothing like that. And I was like, I don't think it's the same thing.
It's about context of certain things and actions and behaviors and how you talk depends on the environment you're in. Appropriate environment. Like, you'll say, this isn't appropriate for work, but it is appropriate if me and my homeboys are talking, you know, or whatever. So now you can't do that necessarily with everything with sports and then the regular world. That is a bad look. I do agree, and I think he should have got fined. Not sure if it should have been that much, but I do understand what you're saying, and that's fair. Like, if it's that much because of the optics of it, I completely get it. And with Tom Izzo, I think initially when I had seen that, I might have been like, yo, he's doing a lot. But then I got some more context from people who were coached by him, which is he allows his players to talk back to him.
Yeah.
It's an exchange. It's not like I'm allowing you to disrespect me as much as I'm allowing you to get your shit off too. And yeah. I could respect that, especially if you're getting up in dude's face. Like, because you got to be able to get up in people's face for sure.
In my opinion, it was warranted because of the timing of it, mm-hmm. right? Late game turnover of a bad play. And you're letting him know that. And two, that's kind of motivational because that team made the Final Four that year. You know what yeah. I'm saying? Like, you didn't make those mistakes going down the road. They were on the way to trying to win a championship. So, I don't know. But I just think – now, what I don't like is the whole, well, I played sports. And I even was guilty of something else. I played sports. Coaches do this all the time. That doesn't always mean it was right. It just means it happened to you and you were okay with it.
Yeah. For sure. Oh, man. That's a whole topic for a whole nother podcast. Is that just mentality? Because, man.
Yeah.
A lot
I
of
was. I said something along those lines. I remember saying something along those lines. And I was like, even though that's not literally the way that I meant it, like because it happened to me, it's okay yeah. to happen to everybody else. I understood, okay, that's how that could be taken. So mm-hmm. that's not the right way to word that. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people that literally believe, I believe that I went through it so everyone can go through it. And that's not right.
I've heard that with, like, student loans. I've heard that with, like, treatment at the entry level at places and definitely in sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so who you got for these playoffs for this this week? And I want to know your Super Bowl pick, man.
Yeah. Let me just go ahead real quick with these. I'm going to take the Bengals, a little stunner, I guess you would say. That Titan secondary is the one thing that I am not 100% sure of keeping up with. They got some injury issues also, keeping up with this Bengals passing attack. I got the Packers over the 49ers. I'm going to go with the Rams over the Bucks just because the Bucks fans are being some bitches about it and acting scared, and I'd love to see that. I think that's like a real toss-up. I don't really have a strong – one way or the other. But just for that, I'm going to go with the Rams. And I'm going to take the Chiefs over the Bills. Super Bowl picks. I'm going to go with Kansas City and Green Bay. We're going to get the State Farm Bowl that we missed out on a couple years ago. And discount and double check. It's going to get a ring. Patrick Mahomes is going to enter his LeBron James. Can he ever be a real winner? He's 1-2 in Super Bowls phase, and he's going to win like 5 more Super Bowls, and people are going to be on his dick. So,
all right,
that's
so
my prediction going forward.
I definitely hope Green Bay doesn't get in, not even because of how I felt about Rodgers, but I just think it'll be a better Super Bowl. If the winner between the Rams and the Bucks end up making it. So I got I'm gonna go Cincinnati too. I'm gonna go Cincinnati, Green Bay. Yeah, Green Bay. At Tampa. I'm gonna go back to that one. I got Kansas City and man. I want the Rams to win, but I like both teams, and I think it's a toss-up too, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I really actually, yeah. I don't know. I guess I would pick loss at the Rams if I had to,
mm-hmm.
Which means that then it'd be the Rams versus Green Bay. I'm going to Los Angeles. So I got the Rams and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And that depends on Matt Stafford. if he plays good to great, well, if he plays great, Los Angeles probably wins.
Right.
If he plays great. If he plays good, at least Los Angeles has a chance at winning.
Right.
I think.
Chiefs defense has been so up and down. For a stretch of the season, they were ranked, like, last in, like, yards given up and points. And then the last, like, half of the season, they were top two. So it's a mixed bag with them. But
That's what I got. And I'm looking forward to this weekend, man, for real, with these games, especially at I got to make sure I set my clock for that Tampa Bay Rams game, make sure I don't miss that shit at all.
Unfortunately, I'm going to be at work for all of these games. I'm going to be at work for the late games, the early games. I'm going to be
probably
getting ready to go to work.
The Saturday games, I'm going to have no problem catching. It's going to be the freaking Sunday games I might end up missing, which sucks because actually those are the two games I want to see. Shout out to Florida State for always, you know, I feel like they always beat Duke.
All right, man.
Shout out to them, man.
Shout out to them, honestly, and Miami. Two best teams in the ACC. Both took down
Duke. Fucked us up, too, the other day.
Duke's lost three games by a combined, like, 8 points. I'm not worried.
Yeah.
So
we got fucked up by them. Shout out to Reggie, wherever he is.
He's ducking the smoke. Nah, he out here making money. Turn it up. Yeah. Well, that was episode 89. Appreciate everyone that stuck with us. Back for another year. As much as we can do. Work this shit out. And, yeah, we out.
See you.